Truly, Nicodemus understood far more than many nominal Christians of our day. And some of these nominal Christians appear to be in the Lord's church. He honored Jesus Christ by saying to him, "Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God." And this expression, "Rabbi," is tantamount to saying, "the teacher." And that is who he was. Remember when John the Baptizer was questioning and sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one or should we look for another? Jesus, obviously, having performed miracles in the presence of these disciples, said, "Now you go and tell John those things which you have heard and seen. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Matthew 11:4-5. Jesus knew to be reminded of the miraculous works he was doing would be all that John needed. Then there's the warning that the early church was given. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if a word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by those that heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." First four verses of Hebrews 2. The miracles in the early church should have convinced the early Christians and those that would be Christians of the authenticity of the message. This was not a message to be neglected. Truly, it is good news. The power of God to save. It is good news that we cannot neglect. You see, Nicodemus said, "We know you're a teacher come from God." Why? Because of these miracles that you're doing. You are of God. The last thing we read about Nicodemus was after Jesus died. It was he who accompanied Joseph of Arimathea to take and prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Obviously, he took to heart the message of Jesus. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Questioned about, "Look, how can you be born when you're old?" Jesus again replied in John 3:5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The message, the power of God to save, is ours because he came down to us. Certainly, Tom's lesson has impressed upon our minds the importance of God coming. Don't you love the introduction of John? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. After talking some about John the Baptist, Jesus becomes the subject again. In this verse that is the theme for this lectureship, remember, Word is capitalized properly. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Of Him it was further declared, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. God came down to us to reveal the truth. To reveal the truth that we must know to be pleasing in the sight of God. This truth Christendom takes and molds it to please themselves. The attitude seems more and more to be, just so you confess Jesus. And confessing Jesus is important. But beloved, we must confess the truth about Jesus. And if we're going to follow His steps, as 1 Peter 2:21 teaches, we must live the truth we confess. In Him, we have the one with the authority. Sometimes when we get carried away and people begin to really be caught by the message, we may make a mistake and communicate the idea that the authority is in us. Beloved, the only way the authority is in us is when the Word of God is in us, and that's what's being taught. And this is in contrast to Jesus. The message lived among men, revealing to mankind the nature of discipleship. Yes, Jesus declared in John 12, verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The words which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, how could that be? He had explained in the preceding verse, if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. This word that Jesus spoke was the message that was His throughout eternity, to the extent that He's referred to as the Word who was made flesh. God came and lived among mankind, showing us how we ought to live. When He finished, what many people are quick to affirm, the greatest sermon ever preached. When He finished that Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:29, they were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The scribes were, I suppose, the intellectuals of the day. And one can almost hear them arguing about what is the exact meaning of this verse, this thought, this idea. Jesus spoke the truth in words that people could understand. Oh yes, Beatitudes, paradoxical. Makes one think. In the simplicity of the expressions of Jesus, there was the profundity that is needed by man. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. Jesus declared, because it's true, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Yes, we all join and declare how great it is that God has come down to us in the person of Jesus. We're thankful for the blessings that are ours in Him. But do we forget? Do we become negligent? Or do we diligently study the Word to make application? Lest I should forget it later in the lesson. Beloved, those of us who preach, if we would conscientiously do what James said do in James 1:22, being doers of the Word and not hearers only, if we would in all sincerity take the Word, apply it to our lives so that He might be glorified. You know, it's later than we think. And it's too late for us to make names for ourselves. But with whatever time we have left, we may be able to make the name of Jesus as precious as it ought to be in the heart of every person. If people are not reached with the message of Christ, it is the teacher that we teach. And it must be the teacher that we live. In Christendom, with all these odd ideas about the nature of God's grace that saves people, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is not being reflected. What Jesus urged in Matthew 5:16 ought to be, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. When we follow Jesus, we follow the one who came down that we might go up. This Jesus, the light of the world, the source of the way we ought to live, the truth we ought to believe, and the life we can experience and we have experienced if indeed we have become Christians. In Jesus, we see the truth. Remember? It's the truth that one takes and applies to his life, resulting in purification. Oh, I was going to mention especially for us preachers. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. The application of the revelation will make of us this light that the world in darkness needs to see. In Jesus Christ, man learns about crime and punishment. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Same truth, Galatians 3:22. 1 John 1:8. And further, Ezekiel declared in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We hear on the news about the big sins. We see on the television the results of some person who, because of a crazy mixed up belief, was willing to attach a bomb to himself and detonate it, hoping to kill others. Wickedness prevalent in our world. And the little things that we do wrong seem so very, very small. You know the worst sin? The very worst sin really constitutes a crime. The sin that I commit and never receive forgiveness is the worst sin for me. And it'll be the worst sin for thee. The wage of sin continues to be death. To a persecuted church in Thessalonica, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, the standard of judgment will be applied. In John 5:22, we learn that the Father judges no man, but he's committed all judgment to his Son. And further in verses 28 and 29, marvel not at this. The hour comes when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Beloved, the remedy that God supplies must be applied. Or, in that last day, we're going to be unprepared. In Jesus, we should see the warning. Eternity. But he steps down out of glory to live as we ought to live. Now, Jesus taught the truth and lived the truth. And in so doing, he taught his disciples what he was going to do with regard to truth. In John 16:13, specifically to the apostles, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He did what he promised. 2 Peter 1, beginning with 3, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto them exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Primarily, everything has been revealed for those who would follow Jesus. For those who would be blessed because of the example he has provided, the sacrifice that he made, the victory he achieved, and the throne where he now rules at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The truth of Jesus reveals the reality of God's love, God's grace, expressed in the provisions that have been made for the salvation of souls. Grace is precious. No one can make it by himself. By grace we're saved through faith. And you see, if the grace is not properly received, the faith will not justify. Now, cherish the truth of Romans 5 and 1. But don't forget to read Romans 1 and 5. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, speaking for himself and other apostles, said, "We then, as workers together with them, or with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Why did he warn us? Because it is possible to receive grace in vain. As the Apostle Paul began what we call the Great Resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, "I declare unto you the gospel, which I've preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you've believed in vain." Again, receive grace in vain, that's becoming aware of the truth of the gospel, but not making application. Not really trusting and obeying the Lord. So the faith is a vain faith because it's not productive. It's not alive. It's not working. And it's not saving. But the necessary sacrifice has been made. We don't have to die in our sins. At conversion, we die to our sins, but we don't have to die in our sins. You see, the truth of Jesus is the truth concerning salvation, the conversion experience. We all know Romans 6, introductory verses, is not primarily teaching baptism, though it's there. It's primarily teaching the Christian life. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead for the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In Christ we are new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And there is the beginning of togetherness when conversion is a reality. In Galatians 3, beginning with verse 26, we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a lesson in the oneness of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is pointing us all the way back to Abraham in Haran, responding to God's call, promising him, "Through your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now the Apostle Paul is telling us Jesus is the seed of Abraham. He is the means of our salvation. We have fellowship in Him when we convert to Christ. So, we live accordingly. And if we don't live accordingly, we're missing the mark. One can know. In fact, one must know if he's saved through Jesus Christ. If this Word who became flesh is the means of our salvation, this same Word dwells in us. Remember the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus? A part of it, Ephesians 3:17, was that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he expands it. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Beloved, if Christ is not making a difference in our life, it's because we're not in Christ and He's not in us. The sweet fellowship that should be ours, we may sing about it, we may hear it preached about, but we're missing the mark. Selfishness is overcoming. Remember, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 and verse 8. At conversion, the sins are taken away. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And then we must daily so walk. Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember how Jesus lived. In his prayer, recorded in John 17, we get a clear vision of how he lived. These words spake Jesus, lifting up his eyes unto heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yes, he shared eternity with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Now, his brief tenure in this world was coming to a close. It is as if it were completed. He's going to go to Calvary. Oh yes, he prays, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he added, not my will, but thine be done. Always in submission to the Father. Telling us what? Well, ultimately, that the necessary sacrifice has been made. But in the meantime, telling us we must follow his steps. That means self-denial. Every good thing that man receives in this world originates with God. And surely, we're thankful for material blessings. How in the world could we be otherwise in this fine new building? You know, last year it was getting ready to be finished. But now we're enjoying spiritual and material benefits because it's been completed. But, you know, churches of Christ have done quite well the last 20 years in building buildings. How well have we done in converting souls? And growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? There are advantages to being older. And when I let someone tell about how long I've been preaching, you know, he didn't mention I worked in business. I helped bury people. I served in the Air Force. And, you know, it's hard to do all that and just be 49. But one of the benefits of growing older, hopefully, we can have a better perspective. Thank God that we're not having to teach class in a closet anymore. But pray to God that we'll be able to bring people to hear about this Jesus that we claim to love. We have the buildings. Now let's be the building. Be that temple that God wants us to be, that Jesus Christ makes possible in our lives. We have to take out a minute now. How do these lights work? If you look up here and I'm not here, you know. And now have pity on me. Fellowship with God. We cherish the fellowship we have with one another. Jesus makes possible. And beloved, this is something that must be ours if we're His. We were baptized into Christ. That must be more than declaring the necessity of immersion in water. It is necessary. But it's the spiritual change within. As one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, that must be present. Otherwise, where is that repentance that was commanded? And where is the meaning of this confession that we made? One came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "The foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Luke 9:58. I wonder if the man turned away. I think a lot of people today turn away. They turn away in that what they want are benefits. Don't tell us about responsibilities. Don't tell us about what we have to do to live the Christian life. If you quickly open your Bible, turn to 1 John, the first chapter. And as you're turning there, remember this. 1 John 5:20-21. Talking about knowing who we are, knowing where we are spiritually. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. For we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, in 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen, Apostle John speaking, writing, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, as He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Little children, these things write we unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now listen, verse 3 of 1 John 2. Hereby we do know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God for the coming of Jesus.